You are listening to the Fantasy Joes Podcast, your weekly dose of fun and unique fantasy football talk with a focus on Dynasty. And now, here are the Joes, Will Greenwood, Ryan Livergood, and Jake Patterson.
Hey, that's right. It is Will and Ryan coming at you. It is episode 199B of the Fantasy Joes Podcast. Will, how are you this evening?
Yeah, I like the B. I'm doing great. And I love that the B's in there because like we don't have the full staff for today. We're looking for the big celebration moving forward. And honestly, as we listen to this, this may be just a B episode. And it's going to prove B awesome.
There you go. I like that. Well played. That was like a dad joke right there. B, it's going to be awesome. Well done.
Go for baby father, so I'm ready to go.
I approve. Yeah, Jake is on assignment this evening. He's not with us. We are going to do show 200 soon. Hopefully we'll have Mr. Trey Barrett, who was one of the founding Joes, with us. But tonight you got Will and Ryan at @FantasyJoe_Will, @RotoLibrarian. And we are going to talk a little bit about week 11 and player values. And Will, it's getting exciting because we are getting into the home stretch here. Most leagues, I think you got 4 weeks of regular season left, and then we get into the playoffs. So let's get into it.
No. 11, 12, 13, 14.
Yeah, four weeks left of the regular season.
Man, that was horrible counting. But we got to add some spice.
There probably are some leagues like my local, my league at my library. The commissioner set it up to start the playoffs week 14. And I told him the other day, can we change this? It's a Yahoo league because, you know, whoever has, for example, Jonathan Taylor, if they make the playoffs, that would be me, which I may not make the playoffs, but he's on bye. So that's not good for me.
Hey, can we change this? Not good for me.
Yeah, but no, seriously. I mean, it's. I think you can't start the playoffs when you got players on bye.
Ryan in our Empire League, I sent that message out and saying like, hey, it slates our playoffs for week 14. And it was crickets on the other end. So I'm going to have to make more of a stir. I assume on Sleeper you can change it because Sleeper seems to be the most progressive platform when it comes to changes to what you can do. And I'm starting to like Sleeper more and more overall, which is how the amount of attentiveness they have to their platform and what they're offering.
It's getting better. As all our loyal listeners know, I was very much anti-Sleeper. And I still much greatly prefer MFL. But you got to give Sleeper credit. It's getting better and better. And it's gone from like thumbs down to like meh for me. You know,
I'm a big fan of Sleeper too, because you can see player snap counts on there. I don't know if they're perfect or how accurate they are overall, but they are close. They're close enough to where snap counts matter. So when you look at like running backs in a backfield, you're like, okay, Adrian Peterson, Deontay Foreman, and what's his face? Like, how do they split the backfield? Okay, they're all horrible. Okay, so I don't really want to invest in them. You know, like, those kind of things you take a quick glance at. And I think it's very, very fascinating. Like, their scoring overall, you have to take it with a grain of salt because it's based on basic standard, basic PPR, and higher leagues differ. But my favorite thing is they actually have snap percentages on there. And again, I just need, like, within plus or minus 5%. Like, that's totally fine. And it's the fastest way to look it up.
I do like when you click on players, you get they've got great stats. There's no doubt about that. And they'll get better. Hopefully they'll have the some of the reporting that MFL has, because I love running reports on different things. And anyway, but enough about platforms. Let's talk about players, Will. And I want to talk about Mr. Cam Newton, who is back in the league. I loved it. I think that was one of the best moments of week 10.
That whole game was the best moment for Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, it was so great, right? You know, the first two plays of the game for him, you know, the touchdown pass, touchdown run, it was beautiful, man. I just loved it.
The Panthers organization gave him a boatload of cash to come back. It's like the opposite of the Lions, who are still holding like $1 million away from Calvin. Because they don't want to pay him. They asked if for things are like in return. He was like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, you're basically just paying me to do stuff. Either do this or don't this. But anyway, with Cam, it's one of the greatest moments in NFL history that I've been alive for, of like this, like, okay, we did you wrong. We want you back. We're going to pay you a little bit. And then Cam comes out, and that his first touchdown run was vintage Cam and vintage effort. And it was just, we missed Cam in a Panthers uniform. And then when he throws a touchdown to Robbie Anderson has been relevant all season. And how he comes back and does that. It does worry me a little bit for the passing game overall and for goal line touches for Christian McCaffrey on fantasy side. But Ryan, you asked about Cam Newton, any value beyond 2021. At this point in time, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he'll be a starting quarterback in the NFL for 2 more years, let's say, after this.
So you take Cam Newton or Jameis Winston right now?
Cam Newton.
Yeah. That's Heineke.
What about Heineke?
Oh, Cam Newton. I mean, like Heineke's going to be the long-term starter.
What about Magic Mike White?
Oh man, don't bring that up. That's that train is wrecked. It's, you know, on the side of the tracks, and we get to see Joe Flacco this week. Joe Flacco or Cam Newton? No, I'm just kidding. No, I think it's interesting. And just looking at these recent deals for Cam Newton, they're kind of all over the board. So he may be a cheap guy to acquire in a Superflex league. This is an interesting trade. Would you take Cam Newton or Big Ben and Robert Woods? You take the Big Ben Robert Woods side or Cam Newton side?
I would probably take Big Ben Robert Woods because, well, yeah. I think Big Ben is going to have another year left in the tank.
You think so?
Because,
huh?
Well, because he can survive off. When you have as big a tank as Big Body as Big Ben carries around, he can probably atrophy quite a bit and still provide another year of starting for the Steelers. But I also think Robert Woods is one of the best buy lows too for a non-competing team.
Yeah, no, and you're right, because we were talking about this on the Patreon show, patreon.com/fantasyjoes. You know, before he got hurt, the last several weeks he's been,
fine. He's just fine. He's a nice safety, like backup. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Robert Woods, not Big Ben.
Yeah, Robert Woods. So
Robert Woods is a wide receiver one over the last, like, what is it, 4 or 5 weeks?
Yeah, even like, so the last 5 weeks, and he didn't play a game. So he only has 4 weeks. Some of these other guys have 5 games played. He was wide receiver 17 in a PPR league. So yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. And if you just gave him like 15 points, he'd be top 10.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, it's, and I think we forget about that, because I look at the, like, last 5 weeks, I look at Cooper Kupp fantasy points per game, 28, and then go down to Robert Woods, 15.6. And we just, I think Kupp has just overshadowed Woods so much that we forget that Woods was coming on. He was being solid. So, so are you excited now? It's not on the show sheet, but I got to ask, Odell Beckham Jr. Are you, how do you feel about him now? That, cause we were in our Voxer chat, we were like, oh, that's not a great landing spot, the Rams, but then the Woods news comes out. So what do you think of the landing spot now, Will?
I worry about the amount of fantasy production it's going to produce moving forward. But he immediately in the game, when he ran the the stop route out there and came back and Matt Stafford hit him and they were on the same page, that's exactly what you want to see with Odell Beckham, exactly how you want to see him mesh in that offense. Yes, I realize he didn't play for a lot of the rest of that game because they were struggling, and they were playing from behind, and they were doing things in the offense that he wasn't integrated in yet. So that this week off, moving forward, I don't trust him whatsoever in the starting lineup until it's proved otherwise. But I think with your Odell, like, if you have Odell Beckham on your team, I feel very, very positive that his value is going up moving forward. The one thing I want to say about Kupp, Ryan, is Kupp looks like he basically looks like Devontae Adams out there. He's very, very similar. Kupp is, shockingly enough, like, I think Kupp's a year younger than him, but Kupp is producing that kind of season where it's, I don't think this kind of skill set's going to go away. He's not burning people down the field. He's not beating people with just straight athleticism. He's beating people with nuance and run after the catch and savvy. So if Kupp has a few more down games or this offseason, if he has like a lull going into it or has a bad playoff run, I think Kupp could still be a great buy.
Yeah, 28 years old. So he still has, I think, at least 2, probably 3 years left of prime production. with Matt Stafford. And yeah, Cooper Kupp, man, is very, very good.
He's like an Adam Thielen plus, because I guess we have to compare him to another white player.
Yeah, of course we do. Of course we do. Yeah. We're actually obligated to do that.
He's a hard worker, coach's kid, first guy and last guy out.
I think, though, it's interesting you say that he's a buy. I don't know. I think he's still probably in a void, because I don't think he's going to this is a career year, right? You don't think Cooper Kupp's going to come back and, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying is you can't buy him right now. There's no point.
Right.
What you'd give up to get him won't be worth his future value, because if you don't have him in your competing team, I would be shocked to see what you have to give up to a non-competing team. And I just wouldn't want to make that kind of trade offer. What I would say is monitor this for the future. And because Cooper Kupp's done this before, just not this long, of this kind of boom. So pay attention. And if you do a startup next year, pay attention to where he's going and if you can get a good value on him. He's one of the guys that maybe you move up a few picks in draft to go grab, maybe even a round if you can get it at a cheap enough price. Because that like his skill set translates for the next, I think, like Ryan, honestly, like 3 years is some really, really great production. And that you'll still have sell windows if things go wrong for your team.
Yeah, and that's what you prefaced it, and I went back to the here and now. So what about Jerry Jeudy and I don't know where the first round pick is. So Jerry Jeudy and a 2022 first round pick or Cooper Kupp?
Well, I mean, if I were a competing team, but I have Jerry Jeudy in that first, I would sell that for Cooper Kupp's production this year. I think that's a totally fine value grab.
I think I would too.
And I think on the acquiring team, I also think it's good value for you. This is a good trade.
Yeah, I think that's solid. So that kind of thing could get done. And another very similar deal where Rashad Bateman and a 2022 first round pick for Cooper Kupp. That one's a little harder for me because Bateman is starting to look really impressive. But Jerry Jeudy's also good as well. So I think similar deal, right? Similar kind of thought process there.
Both those receivers carry quite a bit of risk. They're both first round picks as well. But if they sniff what Cooper Kupp has done, you've won this trade.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, even though Bateman's look good, there's still questions there. And the Marquise Hollywood Brown is still there. And, you know, yada, yada, yada.
I love the evolution of the Ravens passing game. We've talked about that. Even though they had that complete, like, they completely pulled down their pants and laid a big fudge dragon right on the field against the Dolphins. I still believe in that team quite a bit.
You know what's good for teams that are struggling? A matchup against the Chicago Bears, so they'll be just fine.
I think this is going to be a cagey affair.
Yeah, it'll be interesting for sure.
I'm plugging Fields into the starting lineup. The Ravens defense isn't that good. I mean, they're fine. They've had so many injuries, like they are okay. But if the rest of it, like I think there's a good chance that Fields, we've seen the progression of Fields. I think Bears are going to have a lot of things to be happy about after the season.
Well, I think that's true, especially if Matt Nagy gets fired and they bring in their coaching staff. But we'll see. It's, I remember, Bears coming off a bye week, which it does intrigue me a little bit, Will, because let's see if they've figured some things out and how to better use Justin Fields. But I also vividly remember weeks where the Bears have come off bye weeks under Matt Nagy and not performed very well. I think there was a year against the Green Bay Packers, which I think that was one of the years where Aaron Rodgers was out and they lost to the Packers after a bye week, if memory serves. But
what was the UCLA quarterback that was starting for him then?
Was it Huntley?
Yeah, Brent Huntley.
Yeah.
He's the future.
All right. Let's so you know we talked about Cam Newton. Let's talk about the Titans backfield, because
I might take it back, Ryan. I think I would take Newton over Big Ben and Robert Woods. I'd at least be willing to buy in and give it a go.
It's depending on your team construction. Like Cam. That's because you like Cam.
Well, because also maybe I wouldn't take that deal right now, but in my mind, I would rather plant my flag on Cam Newton than the Robert Woods Big Ben side.
That's fair. And I think it's a great deal. If you're you know, a contender in a super flex league and you need a quarterback and, you know, obviously Big Ben's, you know, been horrible for you. You know, why not take that chance? Right. You know, because Robert Woods isn't helping this year. So get Cam and just ride him and hope it works out. So that's that.
I don't think you can start Cam though, even next week.
Sure, you can.
That's the hard part.
I mean, what's interesting, if you look at some expert rankings, you know, Cam, some people have him as a not the QB1 overall, but a low end QB1. I think it's risky though going against.
I guess the super flex, like I could see him easily being in the top 24 quarterback. So like, take that as a win.
Yeah, I mean, but he's going up against his old coach Ron Rivera, and I think that you know he might know how to slow Cam down. We'll see. It'll be interesting to see how he plays. I'm cheering for him. Fun matchup and
yeah. Go Chase Young.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the Tennessee Titans backfield. I know it's gross, and Will, I was hoping that Adrian Peterson would just, you know, blow up and, you know, kind of, even though he's old, we'd see some of that old AP and, I don't know. I guess you can't totally write him off, but it's kind of murky, right? I mean, so who are you betting on in that backfield? If any, I mean, is there anyone that you want to even think to acquire? Cause I would imagine you could acquire McNichols, Foreman or AP pretty cheap. If you really think that one of those guys will produce down the stretch.
All right. So McNichols, I purchased for a third in a 14 team league, and it has been a horrible choice because McNichols has sucked since then. But so the thing that I am leaning towards and gravitating towards is I still would buy into AP for the rest of the season for like, if you're choosing one player who's going to have the most value and can actually plug into your starting lineup as a flex play. Probably shouldn't be one of your starting running backs. Probably shouldn't be relied on. But I'm willing to gamble on that he is getting integrated back in the NFL. And now we're going to see that vintage, you know, Washington football team, Adrian Peterson, come back in the latter games of this season. He'll be valuable for your team. Deontay Foreman, he was fine. A lot of things are being made about his stats and, like, you know, his pass catching. It was on one, like, blown covers, like, big run. One of his first games, he missed one of the worst pass coverage moves I've ever seen. So he is not going to be relied upon, I think, in that sense moving forward. I think most fantasy sites have Deontay Foreman's week 11 stats way, way, way overly projected. So like if I could, basically I would take Adrian Peterson and I wouldn't rely on the other two whatsoever, even though I may have to plug and play McNichols at some point. He is one of our dynasty darlings when we first started this biz. And wanted to get a lot of McNichols' involvement. But
yeah, man, it's true.
But I think that like old reliable is going to emerge and not erupt, but at least give you like a nice little leg floor.
It's an interesting, you know, matchup, you know, this weekend against the Texans. You know, they're kind of middle of the road against the rush. And Jeremy McNichols is coming back from a concussion, so he may not play. So it'll be interesting to see if AP can do something this week. I mean, this probably would be the week because next week it's New England and then a bye. So,
yeah, biggest mistake they made was cutting Mikhail Sargent from the Iowa Hawkeyes, who was signed to their practice squad this offseason because he was undrafted and should have kept him. He's a stud because he's from the Hawks.
If you were desperate for a start this week at running back, I don't think you're this desperate. Would you trade a like fourth round pick for AP?
Yeah.
Maybe. What about third? Third? 12 team league super flex.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You can get that third back later. Thirds to value pretty quickly come the rookie draft. It's those first round picks overall and those like towards the end of the second round, those picks also devalue, I feel like, pretty quickly once the board is kind of shaken out. Rarely is there a player that somebody's willing to move, like have it unearth for, to get to your, you know, your 210 or 209.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Let's talk about the Las Vegas Raiders and, you know, what we've seen since, you know, Ruggs is out of the picture.
Ruggs and Gruden gone.
Yeah. with Damon Arnett, right? Wasn't he like a first round corner they picked a couple of years ago? Didn't he like some gun violence thing? I'm trying to remember the circumstances. I should know that off the top of my head, but I don't. Anyway, yeah, the Raiders are kind of a train wreck of a franchise this year. I mean,
if you compared their picks to the Jets picks for how many picks they've acquired, it could be a nice little battle of who's done worse.
Yeah, it's sad, man, because I'd like to see both those franchises do well. And the Raiders still have a decent record. I mean, it's not like they're totally out of playoff contention, but man, they got blitzed by the Chiefs. And anyway, what are you thinking about the Raiders, the pass catching options?
Well, it's nice that the combination of Randy Moss and Terrell Owens has finally had a good game. That man would be Bryan Edwards and what he can accomplish. I actually really hope to see him get more snaps and more targets in the actual part of the game that's like earlier on. I feel like it's always been late. I don't know exactly what happened like last week, but it would be very, very nice to see Bryan Edwards emerge and get comfortable as a starter, get comfortable as a player that's relied on by the Raiders moving forward. The best surprise out of this offense has been Hunter Renfrow. He has been great and amazing and a plug-and-play starter. I even had an offer for Hunter Renfrow for a first-round pick in that experts league that I'm in with the other Minnesota people. And I was like, wait, is this really what's going on? I didn't even respond with a message and just retracted it. I assume it was just like trying to value Hunt here. But anyway.
Wait. You were offered a first-round pick for Hunter Renfrow?
No, other way around.
Other way around. Oh, okay.
Would have been a snap.
Let's not accept that, baby. Come on.
Yeah. Because again, like Hunter Renfrow is going to be a great role player probably his entire career. He's going to be like the Adam Humphreys, you know, of what you can depend on. I think he's better than like his career trajectory is better than Adam Humphreys. But like peak Adam Humphreys was totally fine. You know, he's a nice little like plug and play starter. Renfrow's, I think, will have a longer arc, but maybe won't have the entire peak of what he had. Anyway.
He's one of those guys.
He's been one of the funnest fantasy surprises this season.
Yeah. And he's one of those guys that will produce for you, especially in a PPR league, you know, as your, you know, even wide receiver three or flex, but you're not going to want to go out and pay anything for him. Right. But he's just one of those guys that will just produce at least the rest of this year and probably beyond. Yeah. It's interesting. He's interesting.
Yeah. And very, very low chance for a donut.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But Bryan Edwards will, you know, had a nice game against Kansas City. 88 yards, touchdown. You know, you look at his targets. He's not being targeted much by Derek Carr, but I did hear the other day on a Sirius XM NFL radio, they were talking about the Raiders and Derek Carr, and Derek Carr has said that Bryan Edwards is an exciting player and you know, he really likes him. And it's just a matter, they theorize it's a matter of building the rapport.
It'd be weird if he said otherwise.
No, I know this is all, you know, just talk, but I mean, Edwards is talented. We've seen it. I mean, do you think there is do you think now is the time to buy Bryan Edwards if you want to buy him? Because you think it's only going to get better from here on out.
Last week would have been the time to buy because that's a little third round pick might have gotten Bryan Edwards.
Yeah.
I think now maybe you just wait a week. I'm willing to wait this out and then try to gamble on the talent moving forward. I don't think now is the time to strike. I think in 2 or 3 weeks might be the time to strike, assuming there's no trade deadline in your league. It's not like you're getting Bryan Edwards for the rest of the season run, but if you believe in him and believe in the talent and you're like not, you're not a great team, you could maybe get Bryan Edwards from a contender. Like if you were to package together, let's say, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson or Bryan Edwards at this point.
Oh, I take Bryan Edwards.
Yeah, see, that's the kind of thing, like, if you're a non-competing team and you picked up Stevenson late, you could move him for this future asset. And I think that's the type of deal that could get done. Because Stevenson's a much better asset for a running back depleted team.
Yeah, and some people may think that's crazy. And I like Stevenson quite a bit. However, I just, man, that Patriots backfield, right? It's just,
100% out on it from now and forever.
Yeah, it's just because I do think Bryan Edwards has the ability to really emerge, especially next year. So you think the play is to wait until the offseason? Because right now he is in sleeper PPR rankings. He's wide receiver 53. So he's not, let's say he stays there, goes in the offseason, he finishes like as a wide receiver 5, essentially. You think is the time to pounce in the offseason?
No, so I think the time to pounce, this is assuming trade deadlines are like irrelevant in your league, like you can trade whatever. The time to pounce is after his next down game. Don't buy Bryan Edwards after he just had a decent game. Like that's bad value transactions, unless you're just totally okay with it. You're like, I need to do this. He hasn't done anything all season. They're willing to sell because they think they're getting, like, it's like a slight overpay and they think they're getting the high, of what they're doing. Yeah. Another option would be some sort of like, again, like a contender, maybe they have Alvin Kamara. You could pay Mark Ingram for Bryan Edwards, maybe Mark Ingram plus a little something, the way that these players or other teams in the league have seen the variance, what's happened in their running back room. You can capitalize on that now as a non-competitive team, because I think as a competitive team, acquiring Bryan Edwards would be more tough, because if you're going to give like a pick or a player that you think is going to produce to get Bryan Edwards, it could be, slightly harder, but like, can you, So I'm only thinking of, and this is something to think about for next show, just mark it in there and I'll come up with better advice, because like, as I rack my brain for something like this, I wasn't really prepared to.
That's okay.
Best advice possible.
And I think Edwards is interesting because I'm looking at the recent trades. And they're really all over the board in terms of, someone got him for the third, someone got him for a second round pick. This guy got Bryan Edwards for, and this was a week ago, for Mike White and Amari Rodgers, so I'm like, I do that all day. Right. It's just all over the board in terms of how people value him. Sony Michel for Bryan Edwards. I guess if you acquire Michel and Henderson gets hurt, you've got a maybe RB1 the rest of the year in theory. But I don't know. He's an interesting guy the way he's valued. Cause I think it's a lot of people still see him as like this potential stud. And then I think some people just don't believe in him at all and have written him off. So those are interesting guys to acquire. And in your leagues with some of these deals, Will, I might send some lowball offers out now and just see if someone will send them to me for like a third round pick. And maybe that probably gets rejected 90% of the time, but the 10%, it might pay off. Right. So anyway, Michael Carter.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% of like at least put out some feelers and let them know that you're interested in, so that when Bryan Edwards inevitably has another down game, they know that they can get something from you.
Yeah. We're going to get into our picks here shortly, but let's talk about the North Carolina running backs, the rookie North Carolina running backs, and Michael Carter and Javonta Williams, who is a Fantasy Joe's crush. We love Williams. And you wanted to talk about Michael Carter. Will, what are your thoughts on him?
I really want to talk about Michael Carter because he has been posted. And this is another thing from like the Dynasty Reddit articles that I've seen and looking at like Trade Finder and values, because a lot of people think Michael Carter is a buy right now for the rest of the season and for the future. And like basically he's worth a random 2022nd first of where like his general overall value is. So one is, just looking it up quickly, is Michael Carter, and this is in Superflex, Michael Carter for Tyler Lockett and a 2022 second and third.
I'll take Lockett in the second and third.
Easily.
Yeah.
This is if you have Michael Carter and you've had him, you've held on him this long, that's just one example, obviously. But I don't know if you're going to find a better sell window right now with the amount of hype around Michael Carter. I know he has been producing in fantasy, but it's not elite production. It's fine production. And the rest of that team stinks. The New York Jets stink. Their future stinks. And I would be totally willing to get out now to get some depreciated assets. Like use Michael Carter to get Juju plus and something like that. Or, somewhere where you can, or like Michael Carter for Juju and Michael Thomas, like those kind of things will probably happen.
Yeah, and I'm with you, Will. I don't quite get the Michael Carter hype either. I think he's a nice player, but you know, I think he is going to end up kind of like a Devin Singletary, right? Because you might people forget Devin Singletary's rookie year. He flashed a little bit. People were kind of excited about Devin Singletary. Well, what happened to Devin Singletary? They added to that backfield, and he got relegated to this backfield by committee. And some weeks Singletary is a decent start, but most weeks he's not. And I kind of think that's what Michael Carter is. He's this undersized back that runs hard. But at the end of the day, I just think he's Devin Singletary 2.0. And
he's more involved in the passing game than Singletary was. That's the biggest.
Well, a lot of it with Mike White. I mean, he's been peppered with targets because of Mike White, right? I mean, if you look at
Who? Are you talking about Magic Mike White?
I am talking about Magic Mike White. So if you look at his numbers, targets weeks 1 through 5, who was starting? Zach Wilson. 2 targets, 3 targets, 3 targets, 3 targets, 3 targets. And then we get into did Mike White start week 7 against New England, or was it after that? Anyway, 9 targets, 14 targets, 6 targets. I just don't think that's not the norm. Like I said, I think he's a nice player. I don't think he's a guy that will have value many years in that Jets backfield. I'm with you, man. I don't see the upside, particularly not the rest of the year on this Jets team with like, what's going to happen to the quarterback situation? What's going to happen with Joe Flacco? Are they going to be able to move the ball to Joe Flacco? I don't know. I mean, it's,
And maybe there's another like bigger blip for, for Michael Carter after with Joe Flacco. I don't know that, like, that's tough to predict how this week's going to go. But like, would you take Michael Carter or Mike Williams for a wide? Like, I'm going to running back to wide receiver trades. Carter for Mike Williams.
Oh, Mike Williams. I'd still go with Mike Williams. And I know that Mike Williams has been pretty bad lately, but I think there's some lingering injury going on there. And yeah, he's still, I like Mike Williams. I'll take that.
Mike Williams showed his alpha status in enough games for me to buy into Mike Williams. I'm okay with that. Like, I totally like that, especially for, again, it's taking advantage of that competing team. I think you're getting more future value with Mike Williams than you are with Michael Carter, because this Jets team, I don't have any belief in. Rashad Bateman or Michael Carter?
Oh, Bateman. Are you kidding? It's easy for me.
Yeah. This is one. I'm going to take out the rest of it with the trade finder. But, like, what about Michael Carter or Calvin Ridley?
Oh, I still – man, that one is tough, because you know how I am with, like, risk averse with these players that show this stuff. I think I still go with Ridley, just with the upside there. I mean, you know, he's still assuming he comes back and his mind's right, he's still wide receiver 1. So
yeah, this might be the perfect time to strike with that Calvin Ridley owner hasn't sold yet. Like, Michael Carter for Calvin Ridley and Robert Woods, or like, you know, see what you could tack on with injuries, maybe add on something else that will benefit their team. That's what I would look for. Like, can you get the best amount of value back for your team that isn't competing, that has Michael Carter? As a competing team, I am not paying this value price up for Michael Carter. I think this is a losing bet for the future, in my opinion. And I get that he's young, he was productive in college, especially that last season, and then had that 14-target game. But again, at this point in time, it's like the Cleveland Browns, Ryan, like a couple years ago. I'm not investing in Jets until they prove me otherwise.
Yeah, what about Denver Broncos? What about Javonte Williams? You still investing in him?
100% all day, every day. Javonte Williams next year will probably be one of my – well, it depends how the Melvin Gordon thing shakes out. I hope Melvin Gordon is there so then I can have it be my take, assuming no injuries the rest of the season, that he's the running back. he looks so – he is visually the best running back that I've watched. Maybe Jonathan Taylor usurps him a little bit. But Javonte Williams is electric, and he has the size profile. He has the pass catching. Like, he's shown some game that he's made mistakes in his rookie year, but he's shown enough pass catching prowess where I think still, like, I'll send you Michael Carter and a first round pick for Javonte Williams. Let's go.
Yeah. So Javonte Williams or Robbie Anderson and Derrick Henry?
Javonte Williams easily.
Yeah.
Robbie Anderson at this point, and I'm one of the biggest Robbie Anderson fans out there. I've talked about him a lot on this show. But I just think, like, now we're going to hit that age cliff and he's going to start to deteriorate as an athlete. So he's also not a plug and play starter anymore.
Oh, yeah.
And Henry, Henry could be the number one running back next year, and we shouldn't be surprised. He's proven us wrong so many times about these types of things. He's not the kind of person you bet against in general, because Henry is like, you lose every time you bet against Henry. So I still wouldn't do it now. But in this scenario, for the future, after that year, this is just after next year. Value moving forward, I'll take Williams.
Yeah, here's an interesting deal, and I think this goes to show you that I do think the Williams hype, a lot of people are hyping him up, and I think he's going to be harder and harder to acquire. Like this deal, Javonte Williams and a 2022 second round pick, or Najee Harris and a 2022 fourth round pick. I mean, I think I take the Harris side as much as I like Williams, but maybe in a year, Williams proves us otherwise.
Well, I think you should get more for Harris.
Yeah.
That's the your team positioning, everything you're doing. If you've kept Najee for this long on a non-competing team, and you're looking to get to like Javonte, I think you could get more than a second rounder, unless it's your second rounder back and you're the last place team. So is it Javonte in the 201 for Harris? I think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, it's an interesting deal. So. Yeah, but I feel like we talk about him a lot because we all three of us love him. So if you haven't sent us some deals, see if you can get him. Because I think it's just a, you know, Melvin Gordon injury, you know, because I think Williams could still win you your leagues. I think he could still be a league winner if depending on how things play out. So, before we move on to our underdog picks for week 11 and recap week 10, Will, you want to talk about the tight ends for just a second? Because we hyped up a couple of tight ends last week, and neither one of those guys really did anything. And
Tight ends are the worst, except unless your name is George Kittle. Welcome back.
Yeah, George Kittle's been awesome, man. Last couple of weeks,
back. We talked about Kasicki and what he was doing in a great buy low. Left up that big old donut in week 10. Still, as you like put, like still currently tight end 3. There's no bye week yet, so if you look at points per game, that's not going to move much because the tight end landscape is still horrible. You know, the thing is, like, that's why you don't pay up for a tight end like Gesicki. A tight end like Kittle, and I get that his injury history, and even Mark Andrews, is that they just don't put up zeros anymore. It's like even the Hockenson put up a zero last week. Like it's been a mess in the tight end landscape, but in general. Pay up for the tight ends that you know are plug and play starters every week they play. I think that's Waller every time he plays. I think he's maybe potentially one of the buy lows. We were talking about the Raiders earlier. He hasn't had the season that we were expecting, been under the radar since that first game with 19 targets. I still think Kelce is one of those like elite ones. You're probably not buying at this point. Kittle's up there because again, like health, not health, you can at least decide whether or not to start him or not. And then Mark Andrews. And of course, Kyle Pitts at number one, but
yeah, it is gross.
It's a short tier. Like Hockenson and Fant and those guys are moving themselves out of the top 10 end tier, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's I don't even want to talk about tight ends. We should move on. It's just so gross out there.
Dan Arnold, though, complete stud.
Dan Arnold, man, yeah, just the mailman quietly. All right, let's recap week 10, our underdog picks. We started this just 3 weeks ago. So let's see. Did we – I think, Will, you were the only one that won. So we went 1-2, right?
Thank you. I was 0-2 going in. Scraped one out. I was with the Eagles. But by the time that game closed around, I looked at it on Bookmaker, and it was a pick-em. So yeah,
you still get the credit for it, though.
I mean, it's fine. It just doesn't feel that great. It would have been better if the Panthers beat the Patriots or whatever my first pick was.
That's all right. We'll get it done this week. So, Jake had the Jags over the Colts, which you know the Jags had a chance in that game. So it did get close. So not a bad pick. My pick was horrible because I took the Raiders over the Chiefs, and man, the Chiefs got back on track, didn't they? So I'm 2-1. Jake's 1-2. You're 1-2. So overall, the Joes, we are 4 and 5, which I don't think is bad because we're totally just picking underdogs, right? So that's not horrible.
Wait, that record doesn't. Oh yeah, yeah, because it's 0. Okay,
9 games, 4 and 5. Yeah. So did Jake make a call? You know,
well, I'm assigning Jake a call right now.
You're just putting one in for him.
Jake is taking the Jets over Dolphins. The Jets are 3-point home dogs against the Dolphins. With Joe Flacco starting and Michael Carter emerging into the RB1 overall in Dynasty, Jake feels very confident about the Jets over Dolphins.
All right. Okay, great. You want me to go next? Or you want to go next?
Yeah, you go next.
Yeah, I got a bonus one. I've got one official one and then a bonus. I'm sorry, my cat Yoshi is all over the desk here. As
Yosh Magosh.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with the Vikings over the Packers. The Packers are not favored by a lot, only a point and a half. And this game is in Minnesota.
Is that moved?
I don't know. What was it before?
Yeah, that's a point and a half here.
Yeah, so it
was 2.5 opening.
It might have been. But, you know, I just think that even though the Patreon show, we talked about the best teams in the NFL, and I suggested maybe the Packers are the best team in the NFL. You know, the Vikings are you know, they played everyone tight this year. I think they, I think they're a solid team. And I think, you know, division rivalry, the Vikings need this win. I just think the Vikings are going to get it done. I think Dalvin Cook is motivated. I think he's going to have a big week. So I'm going to take the Vikings over the Packers. And my runner up pick, Will, I like the Cowboys or the Chiefs. The Chiefs are favored by 2.5 points at home, but man, the Cowboys are a really good team. And, you know, opportunistic defense, their offense could get rolling. This could certainly be a shootout. So that's kind of a bonus pick. But my official pick is Vikings over Packers.
The Cowboys defense is the Chiefs defense from the past 2 years.
Yeah, you're right. It kind of is.
Like, that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
That over under is at 56. That might hit like 100 points in that game. At least let's hope.
Yeah, it should be a fun game. I'm excited.
I won't bet. The 56 is too high, so I can't do it. Could hoard the money.
So what's your what's your underdog pick for week 11?
All right. So I was very, very, very tempted initially because I read the spread wrong. I take that back. I'm very, very tempted to take the Saints over the Eagles. The Eagles are 0-4 at home, but they are also fighting for their lives for eligibility in the league, basically overall. So I don't know how the Eagles-Saints game is going to go as far as like my opinion. Like, I have more awareness about it. Mine right now is I'm taking the Seahawks over the Cardinals. So the Seahawks are 2.5-point dogs at home in Seattle, of course, as I said, at home, but they are fighting for their playoff life. It's very, very narrative street, but it's they're competing for their relevancy in the NFL the rest of the season, and it's Russ's second week back. So I wanted to take the Seahawks, the other Hawks, as I call them, as the upside of the week.
The other Hawks. I love that. And I told you in the Boxer chat, Will, that I had three games I was trying to decide. So I'm like, why don't you pick first? And yeah, this was the other game I was eyeing because I like the Seahawks a lot. I think I think you're right. It's a division matchup. They're playing at home. They need to win. I think Russell Wilson will be much, much better this week, which we'll talk about in a second. And Kyler Murray's first game back after injury. I think he's going to play. Maybe. I don't know how good he's going to be. So yeah, I like the Seahawks in this game for sure. So
I'm surprised about the spread that was put out there for this game.
And me too.
I feel like it doesn't offer a lot of betting unless you're betting on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I don't get paid for that, so I clearly know nothing.
Let's roll into Hot Bold Spicy Takes for week 11. Loyal listeners, though, we got 5 levels. We got banana pepper, jalapeno, habanero, ghost pepper, and the almighty Carolina Reaper. So we didn't hit on week 10. We've been way too hot, bold, and spicy lately to be hitting on these things. So, Will, let's...
The Bills won by 28, not 30. I was 2.5 points away from hitting one of my takes of the year.
Yeah, I think you got one. You got a couple listed here. I think the first one you might get. I think it's a hot take, but I think we got a good shot at this one.
Wait, you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Oh, you got two. I don't think this is that hot of take because it's just the variance in the NFL.
Yeah.
So I don't think that this is definitely not like a Carolina Reaper take, but it's pretty fun and hot. I am putting it as one of my takes of the week. And I don't know if there's like a betting line on this or not, but I would love to see the odds because I bet you could win like $10 by betting a dollar. Is Josh Gordon gets his first touchdown of the season for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think that is super hot. I think it's hotter than you think it is. I mean, it's probably not Carolina Reaper, but it's at least Habanero, if not Ghost Pepper, because, and I know that Andy Reid said this week that, you know, Gordon's going to get more involved. It's only a matter of time before Josh Gordon gets more involved. But more involved might be two targets up from a high of one target. And basically all of his games with the last one where he had zero targets. His nine receptions this year, one reception.
This is the first game that he actually played for them.
That's right.
Had snaps. Right. This is where this comes from. Last week in Las Vegas, and I get his blowout, so maybe got some more time in. He had a 43% snap percentage for the offense. So I'm just hoping that translates to more usage. And because let's have a Josh Gordon touchdown. Like this is, I want this take to happen so badly. That's why I put it in there.
Oh, it's a fun call, and you know, let's hope we see some production from Josh Gordon. I've started to drop him in some of the leagues I picked him up. Well, the dynasty leagues I picked him up.
Yeah, I think it's totally fine.
Yeah, I just. Yeah.
And maybe they finally come to the realization that Mecole Hardman doesn't do you any benefit. So,
right. Yeah.
Let's get Joshy Gordy in there.
What a disappointment. So I got one hot, bold, spicy take, and this is Russell Wilson. As you say, second game back, at least 300 yards passing, at least three touchdowns, QB1 overall, Seattle wins.
4 or 6 point per passing touchdown.
That's a good question. Which is hotter, do you think? I'll go with that one.
6 point.
Okay. 6 point passing touchdown. What do you think?
It is Carolina Reaper. It's a lot of parlays here.
It is a lot. Yeah. I just think Russell Wilson is going to, you know, like I said, I think he's, you know, people have kind of feel like written him off for the rest of the season. And I think Russell Wilson's still so great. And I think he's going to play big. He's going to have to play big if they want to win the game. It's a big game for him, as we talked about.
Yeah. And it seems three total touchdowns, which still, like, calling anybody to score three total touchdowns is already a pretty massive bet overall when it comes to everything. Plus 300 yards, again, still coming back. The Cardinals defense isn't great, but they're fine. And I can see this being a slog of a game. Also, it's in Seattle, so there's a heavy chance of rain because we're coming into the rainy season there. And like a nice little drizzle could really dampen the effects of this, which again plays into the hot take aspect of it. And again, parlaying all three things, even though it would be my underdog pick of the week, which I feel like makes me want to make it banana pepper because I'm always right. I think it's easily Carolina Reaper.
All right. Well, what's your, give us your last hot bolt sissy take for week.
All right. Here we go. This team always takes one game away from their division rivals. It's the Vikings, by the way. I couldn't figure out a way to put more suspense in that. But Justin Jefferson is the wide receiver one, Dalvin Cook is the running back one. Overall, in full PPR, and the Vikes take the win.
Yeah, I love the take. I'm giving a Carolina Reaper because of all the parlay, and both those guys being wide receiver one and running back one. Man, they would have to put up some numbers. And,
well, I think the Vikes could put up 35 plus, not relatively easily, but I think that's in the cards. And so
it's a really good Packers defense, you know, coming on.
It's not. They're not that good. That's a whole bunch of nonsense. Like they're not that good, and they're coming in to the ship, which is what I guess I'm going to call the Viking Stadium now because it's a Viking ship. So I would bet this is a higher scoring game than what we think or than what's out there, and I think I want to assign this take is for the hotness aspect of it is two touchdowns each. You know, it's kind of where it's coming from, and I think that can happen.
All right. I love it. I love the take. It's fun. And it ties into Yeah, we both have hot boat spicy takes to tie into our underdog picks. So we've got some things to cheer for this week, and that'll be fun. My friend, I'm starting to fade. So let's move on to the 2-minute warning. What do you got?
Oh, this fantasy season has been rough, Ryan. Overall, your studs haven't performed as you expected. I mean, we even talked about Austin Eckler earlier in the season and being one of the best dynasty buys for the season moving forward. And it's been kind of a nest show moving forward. I absolutely love the variance the season has provided and lean into that as a fantasy player. Enjoy it. Know that there's all like this season has been, it's been wild. And if you've been disappointed by your players, you need to lean into that. Like, this is more fun for the NFL and your leagues moving forward. So that's what I'd say is change your mindset if you're disappointed by anybody that's done you wrong.
I like it. Yeah, it has been a wild, wild year. I'm just going to say to Antonio Brown, I don't know if he, you know, this is still breaking news, if he showed a fake vaccine card or not. I don't want to get into that. But I do want to talk about this chef, you know, allegedly Antonio Brown owes him $10,000 he hasn't paid. So Antonio Brown now has this track record of not paying people. So number one, to AB, if you hire someone for a job, just pay them, okay? You got the money in the bank. Please just pay them. Be a man of your word. And then number two, as you pointed out in the boxer shot, Will, like if AB tries to hire you for anything, just don't take the job. You're not going to get paid. Like learn. Okay. This guy is not going to pay you. So anyway, AB, pay your people that do work for you and people that offer services, maybe find someone else to offer services too. There's other people than Antonio Brown that you can work for. So with that,
right. If AB wants to develop an e-bike, hit me up. Let's go. I'm still in for that. 100%. I'll take the publicity. We can lose tens of thousands of dollars because it won't be mine. It'll be Buffon's, the company. And we'd love that. So,
all right, there you go.
Anyway, that's the only caveat to that.
Loyal listener to the show. That's why I called him out on it. Okay. With that, let's get out of here, Will. We are the Fantasy Joes. You can find us on Twitter at FFJoes. Support us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/fantasyjoes. Will is also on Twitter at @fantasyjoe_Will. The missing Jake Patterson is at Takes with Jake, of course, and I am at Riddle Librarian. On behalf of all the Joes, thanks for listening. Good luck, week 11. We'll catch you next time. We are the Fantasy Joes.
And the classic move that Jake always does, because he is a better businessman than us, is remind you to sign up for the Patreon. We have episodes that are exclusive to Patreon. We have a good group chat. It's a good time.
Yeah, it is a good time. You're missing out if you're not a Patreon supporter. It's like less than a cup of coffee each month. So we appreciate it.
It's funny. Like how we could double our price and be less than a cup of coffee each month.
It's depends where you get your coffee. Expensive. I don't know.
What kind of coffee
What does coffee cost at Tim Hortons? You know, I don't know. We'll have to ask Jake next time.
Oh, it's three public favors or something in Canada. They use a butter system.
What coffee do I drink at home?
Yeah, like you use a drip coffee. You probably got like a French press.
I do have a French press that I bust on the weekend sometimes, but I just have a standard coffee pot during the week. It's just easier that way to wake up in the morning and have a pot of coffee. And what do I drink? I drink all kinds of different coffees. I'm kind of a coffee snob. Well, let's talk about that on a Patreon show in the future, Will, because I probably spend way too much on coffee.
And then you just put it through a drip maker with like a heated bottom?
Yeah.
Or do you use the expensive? You're ruining that coffee, Ryan.
That's fine. During the week, during the weekends, I'll you know, bust out my equipment. But no, during the week, I don't have time in the morning. Well, I got kids. I got to get to school and walk the dog and all that fun stuff. So
I accidentally broke our coffee pot while washing it. So I was hand washing it for the next day because it goes through a dishwasher, let's say like once a week, and I'll soap and wash down and dry it. But as I was doing that, I was taking it out of the sink and I hit the coffee pot on the side of the sink and broke it.
Oh.
It was like a glancing blow at best.
Yeah.
I mean, also, I'm just like crazy strong and tough. So I can see how that could happen. But we actually bought a Keurig. again.
Okay.
One, because then, because I like, I'll make my wife, like, you know, there's a little like milk frother they can use.
Yeah,
which is fine. It works like okay overall. But if there's compostable and recyclable, you know, like K-cups that you can use, so you don't feel like you're as wasteful. But the quality of coffee that we've gotten out of there, because we're not coffee snobs. I was a coffee snob at one point, like very, very into it. But now I just want like a smooth cup of black coffee. And I've really, really enjoyed it.
Really? Because I've always found with Keurigs that I never really liked the coffee. Like it didn't, and maybe it's just because, maybe I haven't had a Keurig coffee for a long time. So maybe the machines are better now. I don't know.
So much better. It's yeah. Like, yeah, it's like full on a lot better. It's just, it's so much better that my parents couldn't even figure out how to use it while they were here. My stepdad unplugged and replugged back in the Keurig thinking that would fix the problem. And guaranteed that will not fix it with any Keurig that's ever come out. But anyway, it just depends. Cause we probably go through like, it's kind of a lot. I don't know. Probably go through, it's a family who go through 4 K cups a day. So you just have to buy them in more bulk and then try to be as socially responsible as you can. I'm not happy about the social responsibility aspect of that.
That's not really a lot. That's 2 cups of coffee each, right?
Yeah. It's actually really helped me cut back.
Yeah. I was going to say, cause we easy a pot of coffee and usually a little bit more than that each day.
I could just set the pot on my, you know, like my office desk. Yeah. Now that I'm working from home, and I can work through that by noon easily.
Oh, me too. I love coffee. I love it. But all right, well, we'll talk more coffee next time. We gotta close the show, because man, I am fading.
Yeah, I think that Ryan's heart out. So
I think that Thursday night game what I saw that just kind of put me to sleep. I think that's part of it. Good sleep.
That's what you're cheering for.
So you're cheering for. Yeah, I guess if you're a Bats fan, you're thrilled. They're rolling. 7-4, I think, now, right? Man, that's crazy.
I'm just becoming such a big Matthew Judon fan. That him and his like not tight long sleeve shirt, like his like cotton t-shirt underneath his pads. It's so awesome.
You know, they're kind of a fun team to cheer for. I know people hate
they're not Patriots.
You don't think they're fun to cheer for? The, you know, the strong defense. I think Mac Jones.
Oh, then you got Belichick's kid over there putting his tongue out all the time. All right. Get out of here.
That's the place to end it. Do that one more time. I'm going to stop the recording when you go again.
I can't. It's only once.
All right, I'll do it then.